our brother Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for playing, Sabrina. Thank you. I was going to bring my bongos, but I forgot them. In fact, I don't even have them.
Keep the prayers going. You've got to call them the Sunday school bus sideswipe the car.
Oh.
Luckily, it was one of the parents' cars. So, probably shouldn't have set them off today. But
you did.
So pray for
them. Let's, Father, we do pray for Carl right now, and also the bus situation. We ask you that you would just really work it out for your glory, and that you would just really protect Carl and work this whole situation out, that it would be glorifying to you. We ask you that you get him back safe and sound, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've traveled a lot, and I've talked to a lot of people over the years. And it just seems recently that there is a situation that is taking place that Christians have to be more tolerant, of people and their belief systems. I have to tell you that there is the most conservative people that I have met are the most liberal. In other words, you have people who are very liberal and will accept everything around except Jesus Christ. It's just amazing to me. You know, I've been on the streets of New York City and Los Angeles, and I mean a lot of cities, Atlanta, Kansas City, and that kind of thing. And it just seems to me, and you can see this in the media, they call us the Christian right or the right wingers or that, you know, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me what they call us. There's only one God, and is not the God of Islam. Some people say that Islam is when they say, well, you know, Allah and the God Allah and the God of the Bible are the same God. No, they're not. Not even close, because the Bible teaches even in the Old Testament that the God of the Bible is a Trinitarian God, and the God of Islam is not, and it's a demonic God. I mean, that's for sure. Now, that's not a popular thing to say. That is not a popular thing to say, but we're not here to be popular. We're here to speak the truth and speak it exactly the way the Word of God has to say. So the title of my little message this morning is No Other. That's the title of it. There is no other God. And I'd like us to look at a passage of Scripture that I think will really reflect this. We're going to look at this, and I'll give you my propositional statement. David, it's in the Psalms, David shows four attributes to us, the reader, in explaining his relationship to God, from which we can learn, take comfort, be rebuked, and grow. That passage I'd like us to look at is Psalm 139. Because what are these attributes? We're going to look at four attributes of God. Now, if we were all stone blind, I don't even know what stone means. If we were just totally blind and we could not see anything, we wouldn't judge each other by the way we look. We wouldn't judge each other even by the sound of the voice, maybe a little bit. But we wouldn't care about how we look. We would care about what the person is saying. We would care about their character. We would judge a person by their character, not by how they looked or they're handsome or whatever. We wouldn't care about that. We would care about their character. And that's the thing that we want to look at when we look at God. That's called attributes. And we're going to look at four attributes or characteristics of God because they're about to get blown off because of the word, not because of my preaching. It's the word of God. Somebody said, you know, like Steve was very complimentary, you know, it was a really good message last week, etc. And I appreciate that, Steve. But somebody said to me, if you want to be a great preacher, preach great truth. And I think that what we're looking at from the word of God is great truth. So let's look at Psalm 139. I know it's a psalm that you might be very familiar with. Psalm 139. It's 24 verses on this. 24 verses. And it says in Psalm 139, it's right after Psalm 138 and before Psalm 140, in case you were wondering where it is. The Psalms are really basically right in the middle of your Bible. So if you're going, I don't even know where the Psalms are, just go right in the middle of your Bible and crack it open and go, you know, you'll see the Psalms there, okay? Psalm 139, this is a Psalm in which David is going to show us four attributes of God in his relationship with God. Four attributes, and we're going to look at this. And see if you can see him, because in verses 1 through 6, David shows us the attributes of the all-knowing God, his omniscience. When omni means all, and science means knowledge. So he knows all knowledge, all knowing. That's why they say omniscience. And so this is the all-knowing God. That's verses 1 through 6. In verses 7 through 10, we see the omnipresence, all-present God. That is to say, the attribute of the all-present God, his omnipresence. In verses 13 through 18, we see the all-powerful God, or the omnipotence, all-powerful. And then verses 19 through 24, and I thought I made this word up, but I did not. I did not, because I saw it in a systematic theology book, and I was like shocked. And I went, yes, that's cool. The all-holy God, or his omniholiness. Omniholiness. And I actually saw that in a book, and I thought I made that one up. I want the Nobel Prize or something for making words up. And I didn't do it. It's really something. But no, all-knowing God, verses 1 through 6. Let's look at verses 1 through 6. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassed my path, my laying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. By the way, when we read this, don't read this in a dispassionate way. Take this as if God is speaking it to you, because he is. Would you do that? When you read this, take it as if God is speaking to you. And you might think to yourself, God's not, how could God talk to me? I'm not worthy of God talking to me. You will never be worthy of God talking to you. But God, in his love and in his mercy, which is attributes, both of our attributes, he is going to reveal himself to us. He wants to speak to you this morning. Okie doke. No matter what your situation is, think about this. He puts his hand, he goes before, he goes behind, he puts his hand upon you. He's talking to you. Okie doke, you understand that? Well, if you agree with that, nod, okay? All right, you agree with that, you nod. You don't have to get up and shout or anything like that. But you nod on this one, because God is speaking to you. He's actually speaking to you. Let's go continue, verse 7. And it says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the earth, of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, But the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my inward parts. Thou hast covered me from in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and intricately wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unformed, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when thou hast, as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Think about that for a moment. We're going to talk about this. If I should count them, they are more than the numbers of the sand, more than the number of the sand. And as I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, O you bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those who rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. 24 verses, really poorly read, but they're there for us to look at. And when we look at this, in verses 1 through 6, David shows us the attribute. And this is an attribute of God. There are a whole bunch of attributes regarding God, but we're going to look at the three omnis, which makes God unique. It makes God very unique. God is only God because he has these three omnis. He's all-knowing, the all-knowing God. His omniscience means, look at verses 1 through 6. His omniscience means, or his all-knowingness means, that he knows in totality my personhood. He knows who I am. Would you listen to that for a moment? He knows who you are. He knows who I am. Look at verses 1 and 2. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings, my uprising. Thou understand my thoughts afar off. Verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. You know, God knows you in totality. I mean, you understand that? You understand that God knows you? You know my downsinning, my uprising. You know everything about this. See, when we talk about the omniscience or the omniscience of God, think about it from a vantage point. How about this one? The Bible shows us that God doesn't grow in his knowledge. Do you know that? God doesn't grow in his knowledge. He's always known it. He's always known. It's not like he's surprised by anything. No way. God's always known. God knows the past. He knows the future. He knows it totally. Isn't that something? So that means to me, he knows my personhood. You've known my heart. You've searched me, O God. And know you have searched me and known me. You know me. God knows you. I mean, think about that. I mean, come on, folks. It is amazing. It is amazing. I mean, I could name drop. I could name drop. I mean, I just have to tell you, I've witnessed to a whole bunch of famous people. I have. I mean, I have. Does that make me something? Yeah. You think like, whoa, you didn't just do it. Did you? Oh, I mean, I'm going to name drop? I mean, Chuck Norris. Yeah, Chuck Norris. Hulk Hogan. Eric Estrada from Chips. Remember Chips? You know, Eric Estrada. I mean, I've witnessed to these people. I've witnessed to the former governor of the state of New York, Eric Hugh Carey. Jack Lemmon. How's that one for a name dropper? New York City. I mean, I've done it. I'm sorry. I mean, it's just the opportunity was there. I availed myself of that. But they're nothing.
comparing to God? The Bible says about the nations that they are a drop in a bucket. All together, drop in a bucket compared to God. And God knows you. So God knows everything about you. You know, He knows your down sittings, your uprisings. He knows everything about you. There's not a word in your tongue that He doesn't know already. Well, folks, I've got to tell you something. This is absolutely a fact. This is not one of those, let's get feeling good. Let's get feeling good messages. No way. That kind of scares me, actually. That God knows everything about my mind and my heart and my tongue, and there is really no escape.
God knows it. God knows it all together. He knows it. And the question I guess I have to ask is, do you know Him? And He's revealed Himself in His Word for us to know Him. And so the omniscience means He knows in total my personhood. Look at verses 3 and 5 too. Because He knows my physical state. He knows everything about me. He says, Thou compassed my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Verse 5, Thou hast set me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me.
So we came from Armada. We got a lot more snow than you guys did, for sure. And I just think to myself, God was before us as we were coming, He was behind us as we were going, and He puts His hand on us. And He's put His hand on you. Think about that for a moment. You thought you were clever. You thought, well, you know, I'm going to go lay down and sleep. Who's protecting you when you do that? Who's doing that? Who's protecting you? I mean, were you like one eye open? Or was this like major pain where you just sit there and your eyes are completely wide open? I mean, you know, no way. Who's protecting you? Who's doing this? And it's God who's doing this. He's got His hand before you, behind you, and on top of you.
And I love that passage in the Gospel of John that says, no man is able to take you out of my hand. I am my Father. We hold you in His hand. He holds you. He covers you. No one is able to take you out of His hand. Hey, sometimes I know how you feel. I know how you feel because I feel it the same way. You feel alone, don't you? You feel alone. You feel like, man, isn't God around? Where's God when I need Him? Have you ever said that to God? Have you ever felt that way? Where in the world are you in this situation? Well, He's there. He's there. He really is. He's there. And so that's what He's telling me. He's telling me that. And also, look at verse 6, because the omniscience means He knows in total my praising heart. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Not in totality. We can't get it because we're finite. We're finite individuals. One of the things that I want us to understand, and this is why I walk, you know, because I feel like, you know, way up there. The thing about it I want us to understand is that God loves you. And He's there. That's right. That's right. And did you just stand in turn? Yeah, everybody look at this. Do you think this woman would die if somebody tried to hurt this child? Do you think? Do you think that she
you're willing to just wish that somebody would hold me. I want you to know something. God is. God is. And what he wants from us is for us to just believe him that he's doing that and trust him. It's actually more secure than when this young lady is holding her child. It's way more secure than that. And that's enough. God knows. God knows your downsittings, your uprising. He knows what you're thinking about right now. Bad preacher, good preacher, ugly preacher, wrong preacher. You know, all this kind of stuff. God knows your thoughts. And fake it with me and fake it with other people. You can't fake it with God. I can't fake it with God. No one can. He knows. The question is, when we look at this and we have this kind of a situation, we drove, I got to pick up somebody at the airport and all that kind of stuff, but we drove here to be here, and God wants to bless your life. I want to ask you a question. Are you going to let him? Or are you going to sit here and think, I'm going to control my own destiny? I'm going to control my own life. And I just want to ask you, if you're doing that, if you're thinking that way, what are you doing here? The very fact that you're here is testimony of the fact that you know that you can't control your own life. And you need one who knows how to. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we're all in the same boat. It doesn't matter what our education or economic strata is. It doesn't matter. We're all in the same boat. We were built to depend on God. That's why a lot of people are dependent on drugs or alcohol or whatever, because they think, well, I'm dependent. You know, we say, well, you know, you have this dependency, as if that dependency is bad. Listen. Dependency is we were built to depend on God. But we substitute alcohol, we substitute drugs, we substitute all this other stuff. A famous theologian once said that we have a hole in our heart. And it's because of sin. And we try to fill that hole, that emptiness inside, with a lot of different junk, except God himself. It's only built for God. Only God will complete that hole. So I don't know where you are in terms of spiritually, if you've received Jesus as your personal Savior. If you haven't, he's the only one that can fulfill that hole. If you have, stop living a lie and going after other issues and thinking those are going to satisfy you, and they will never satisfy you. Only God himself will satisfy you. He's the only one who will satisfy. So stop. Stop going after other stuff. And you say, well, I just can't. I'm hooked on this kind of stuff. Well, I just can't do it, you know, whatever. Oh, yeah? So what you're really essentially saying is God is impotent and God can't work in your life. Are you willing to say that? Are you willing to say God can't do it? I'm the only person that God will fail when I trust him. Wrong. You trust God, he never fails. God never fails. Never, ever will fail you. And you might think to yourself, okay, I've blown it in my life. I've made huge mistakes in my life. Well, it's like the guy, we're like sometimes, you know, we've trusted Christ as our personal Savior, and we have this beautiful canvas. Let's just imagine for a minute. I pull down this screen and I start painting. I let God start painting. He's the master artist. And he can take that brush and he can dip into the different colors and he can paint a beautiful picture. But you know what we're like sometimes? We say to God, give me that brush. I'm going to start painting my own life. This is a metaphor. I'm going to start painting my own life, right? So we take the brush from God. And we start painting our own life. And what happens? Drips and smears. It just starts dripping and smearing all over the place. And we realize we're not such a great artist. Right? The This is when we start controlling our own life. And we've got strip smears and they're just looking bad. You know what you can do? You can give the brush back to him. And this is what's so cool about God. Is that he can take that brush and he can take the smears and the drips and everything and paint over it and make it a more beautiful picture. Is God the God of the second chance? I would say yes. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth chances. God can take the brush and make our lives a more beautiful picture if we just trust him. God can do that.
I want God to do that in my life because I've blown it so many times. I don't want to blow it. So the all-knowing God, his omniscience, he knows all. He knows our personhood, our physical state, and our praising heart. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. That God, you would know this? I cannot attain to it in totality. I can't do it. But I want to try. I want to try for sure. And then in verses 7 through 12, we see not only in verses 1 through 6, not only the attribute, we see the attribute of the all-knowing God, his omniscience, but also we see the attribute of the all-present God, his omnipresence. And his omnipresence means you cannot run from him. Look at verses 7 through 12. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. It's like the guy from the Soviet Union before the Soviet Union broke up. They called them, they had their space program. They were racing the Soviet Union, racing the Russians to the moon, racing the Russians into space, right? Okay. They had a positive, they called, we call them astronauts here at NASA. In Russia, they call them cosmonauts. I call the guy that I'm about to talk about a cosmonaut. Because he went up into space and he was, it's a godless society. Communism is no God. That's communism. Okay, you know? And so he went up into space and he said, I don't see God, so he doesn't exist. How stupid is that? That's like a guy standing in New York City challenging us and saying, listen, I'm going to give God 3 minutes, and if he doesn't strike me dead, there's no God. He's doing this in front of all these people. All right, 3 minutes. And he waits 3 minutes, and he says, okay, God didn't strike me dead, so there's no God. I said, how dopey is that? The reason why God didn't strike you dead is because he loves you, and God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. How stupid are you? It's like a little kid going up and kicking his father and put him into the wall. And say, I'm tougher than you and all this kind of thing. It's like, that's ridiculous. That's like this little one going, that kind of thing. He said, you just don't understand the power. It's just, come on. And it's not even close. It's not even close in this. And he says, I go up into heaven. You're there. I go to the deepest sea, the deepest part of the sea. And in the world, on earth here, it's Mariana's Trench. That's 7 miles down. That's in the Atlantic area. And notice, I go down and you're there. Where can I flee from your spirit? Whether shall I flee from your spirit, from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, or the grave, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall uphold me. So let's say you're on a cruise, and the cruise ship goes down, and you're the only survivor, and you're floating in the ocean, in the middle of nowhere. Is God with you? Yes, that's what he's saying. Is God with you? Yes, God's with you. Maybe some sharks are with you, too. But God's with you. Maybe there's a little jellyfish are there, too. But God is with you. He's never going to leave you. So you go, how many of you today, and you don't raise your hand or nothing, but you'll understand this, how many of you felt alone today? How many
of you ever felt like God has abandoned me? His omnipresence means he's always with you. You know, we have, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you, right? Well, get the context, but that is talking about work for prayer and also talking about forgiveness. That's what it's really talking about. And when two or three are gathered together, right, there I am in the midst. But he's always with you. He was with you when your mother died. He was with you when your mom, he was with her when your mom died. When my mom died, when my father died of a heart attack in Shawnee Medical Center in Olathe, Kansas, in May of 2012. He was there when your father died and took your dad right into his presence. So when your dad shut his eyes to this earth, he opened them and saw Jesus. Never, ever abandoning him. Never! This whole thing, sweet little sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Remember that song? I love that song. I wish I had that bass vibrato I could do that with, right? But I'll tell you what, a little inaccurate, because he never leaves you. You know what he said? I will never leave you or ever forsake you. So I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What shall I fear? I shall not fear what man can do to me. I can't fear that. I won't fear that.
Fear God. Don't fear men. And so we can't run from him. You can't run. And also in verses 11 and 12, if I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Okay, so you can't run, verses 7 through 10, and verses 11 and 12, you cannot hide. You can't run and you can't hide. You ever hear that? You can run, but you can't hide, buddy. Well, you can't even run from God. I mean, look at Jonah. Jonah thought he was running from God. You know, throw me in the ocean, you know, it'll all be calm. So they finally did it. They finally threw him in the ocean, and his fish swallowed him. You know, and it's no whale of a tale. That actually happened, you know. That's what Jesus said about it. But where was God? God was there with him, ministering to him. Helping him. Kind of high. So sometimes when darkness, it feels like a blanket, doesn't it? It feels like we're all alone, and people get scared of the dark, that's for sure. But it's night, the darkness hideth not from you. But the night shines as the day, and darkness and the light are both alike to you. So we're looking around, we're comfortable, we're, you know, the light and the openness and this kind of thing, that's really nice. But if it was like completely dark, we'd be a little nervous. My friend Greg Steigman went to a gold mine in up in northern Ontario, Canada. Visited some friends, and he was a gold miner. And he went down, not like a panhandler guy, they went down deep, and he worked for this company, and they mined gold. And he said they went down, I don't know how many feet they went down, but it was a deep mine. I mean, really. And he said, they turned off their little helmets and turned off the lights. And he said, you couldn't even see your hand like this. It was so pitch black. But for God, it's not that way. The night is like the day to him. They're both alike to him. God sees. God knows. This is fantastic. Now, don't get too excited about this. We're only talking about the God of the universe. Knows me. He knows all about me and is all the time with me. So when you feel alone, and I know you can, I have. I know you can. Dan, I know you feel like, you know, I'm an only child even though you have a sister. You know, you feel all, you're not alone. You're not. God is with you. And that's the beautiful thing. I mean, no other ism or no other religion is going to give you this kind of personality of God. No way. Islam's not going to do that. Buddhism's not going to do that. Confucianism is not going to do that. And then not only does he know all things and is everywhere at once, omnipresent, but he's all powerful. He's all powerful in his creation. You think about this for a moment. How old is your little one there, ma'am? How old is your little one?
10 months.
7 months?
10.
10. So a year ago,